Before we get into today's episode, I want to let you know about a source of powerful free resources to help you as a parent or grandparent get equipped to invest in the faith of the next generation. Our Next Gen website has been designed to help empower you to navigate tough issues with the young people in your life. At Next Gen, you'll find articles, entertainment reviews from a Christian perspective, parenting stories, helpful parenting guides, and even answers to the tough questions. All these resources are free as you engage on the front line of raising the next generation for Jesus. So why not register today at premierinsight.org/resources to receive free resources from NextGen. That's premierinsight.org/resources. And now it's time for today's podcast.
Understand, defend, and share your faith with confidence. This is Unapologetic from Premier Unbelievable.
Thank you for joining us on Unapologetic. I'm Ruth Jackson, and before we hear from today's guest, just a quick reminder to visit premierunbelievable.com for more shows, articles, and resources. And you can also register there for the chance to win a free book. And if you enjoy listening to Unapologetic, then please do consider rating and reviewing it on your podcast platform. But now for today's show. Today marks the 100th episode of Unapologetic, so I thought I'd share a few of my favourite moments from the last few years. And I'll make sure that I include the episode number with each clip that I share so that you can check out the whole show if you want to hear more from a particular person. This is Alonzo Paul, a former opiate addict who is now an apologist. Here he shares the dramatic incident that led him on his journey to begin to pursue Christianity.
This guy had a drug-induced schizophrenic episode. Wow. I don't know if you know what that is, but he started hearing voices as a result of the volume of drugs that we took. And so what he tried to do was murder me in my sleep. And so he took this blade, and the voices said, chop off Alonzo's head. And so he proceeded to try. So he hit me once in the back of the head. I woke up, as you might, when that happens. And then he swung again, caught me in the hand. I was able to escape and found my way to a hospital. And after the police had questioned me, they obviously were allowing me to get my medical attention. And I got hit so hard in the back of the head that I bled internally in my brain for 3 days.
Oh my gosh.
And so I had this moment where I got to reflect deeply on where have I come from and where do I need to go? And in a sense, that was a real grace from God to stop me, because I was already had a number of times where I came close to ODing. And this was that real wake up of, I need to rethink what I'm doing with my life. And then it was shortly after then that I got invited to church. That's when I heard about Jesus of Nazareth. And I felt like I had been lied to my entire life. Wow. I felt like nobody told me who the true Jesus actually was, who loved the prostitute and the tax collector and was there for the oppressed and the marginalized and was strong and looked evil in the face and yet was so gentle and compassionate and loving. And so it was a result of that exposition of the Gospels that I gave my life to Jesus.
That was apologist Alonzo Paul. To hear more from him, check out episode 37. I found myself returning to this next episode many times, but I would love to know what you think. Up next is Reverend Professor John Swinton, a psychiatric nurse turned practical theologian, who is talking here about Holy Week.
What Holy Saturday reminds us is that suffering continues, that there is a dark space that all of us reside in, and many of us reside in pretty unpleasant ways. So what, in my opinion, Holy Saturday does is it holds us back. It holds us back from celebrating before there's something to celebrate. So there's obviously plenty to celebrate in the resurrection, but it holds us back and it reminds us that we're not there yet. It prevents us from developing a theology of glory. This glosses over suffering and moves straight to the resurrection. Holy Saturday helps says, no, some people are here and we need to sit with them. It may be you, And if you glance across the world, many people are living absolutely in the holy Saturday, in the continued suffering in that sense. Like, so if we are constantly just moving across to the resurrection without taking seriously that space that many of us reside in just now, then, Martin Luther talked about the idea of a theology of glory and a theology of the cross. Then we move to a theology of glory. Instead of looking at the cross, we look beyond the cross towards that imagined fantasy life where there's no suffering. So it draws our attention to suffering just now, but at the same time, it enables us to look hopefully to the post-resurrection life where there is no more suffering, no more tears, and no more goodbyes.
That was Reverend Professor John Swinton in episode 46. In the previous episode, he shares his thoughts on the problem of suffering. In episode 52, he focuses on supporting people with mental health challenges. And in 53, he looks at disability, learning difficulties, and dementia. Here is a short clip from Dr. Lydia McGrew, an analytic philosopher who shares some of the reasons that she believes the gospel narratives are trustworthy.
I think it's surprising how often, with the use of just reasonable imagination, not straining, not forcing, you actually can reconcile these apparent contradictions. And so this would be reconcilable variation was a phrase that an older scholar used. When you find it happening again and again that this actually makes sense and you can put these together, then you start to say, okay, this looks like life, because this is what happens in life. You know that one person might say, the robber jumped into his car. And another person might say, I saw him running across the parking lot, running away on foot. And then you come to find out that the one person was standing at one part of the window, the other guy was standing at the other part of the window, and, you know, he ran on foot across the parking lot, and that person couldn't see the truck. But where the other person was standing, he could see him jump into the truck. You know, that's what life is actually like. And so in that sense, they contribute to that texture of witness testimony, where you might have some apparent contradictions, but that they're reasonably resolvable.
That was Dr. Lydia McGrew in episode 50. You can also hear more from her in episodes 49 and 51. Following the 2023 Super Bowl, I spoke to a young American footballer, Tyler Scott, who has since been drafted into the NFL.
At the end of the day, I serve one person. I serve God. And so, football is, temporary. And, one thing my dad used to always tell, because he was my youth pastor growing up. And one thing he used to always tell us was, one day, everything you see, when you look around you, everything you see, all the things you've done, football, sports, all these, things that you do, the activities you go to, he said, one day it's not going to matter. He said, the only thing that's going to matter is what you do with the name Jesus Christ. And so that's, something that I've kept, every single day of my life, and that I've, put in my back pocket is, what am I going to do with the name Jesus Christ? And so, football is temporary. It's fun. It's a great game to play. But at the end of the day, it's, Jesus is ultimately, the one.
To hear more from footballer Tyler Scott, watch episode 40. I loved chatting to the Reverend Andrew Gosler, Professor of Ethno-Ornithology at Oxford University, who shares how working in the same department as Richard Dawkins and reading his publications ironically eventually led him to becoming a Christian.
Richard Dawkins was telling me not to do this thing that I didn't even want to do, and it was so frequent in his writing that I thought, okay, mate, you so don't want me to know about Christianity. I need to know about it for myself. There was one particular bird that I was trying to catch, and he was eluding me, a male great tit in box CP38A. Remember it well. And I had tried many hours over the course of 3 days. I mean, with all the other work that I was doing. And I decided this time I'm going to try one more time. If I can't get him, that's it. So we have little spring-loaded trapdoors that go inside the nest box. The bird goes in, trips a little door that, closes behind them. So perfectly safe. But I kept catching the female. And I was worried that, you know, she was going to get fed up with being handled, you know, three times in an hour, and the effect on the brood and all the rest of it. Anyway, I caught her twice this evening. I'd gone down and reset the trap. I caught her twice, and I went away and I sat behind a tree near enough for them not to see me, but near enough to hear if the trap went. And for the first time in my life, and it was kind of, well, I've tried everything else. Let's try this thing. I'm going to church, you know, whatever. Let's try this thing. And I sat down behind my tree and I prayed. And I'd only just set the trap, you know, and normally this doesn't happen this quickly anyway. But I prayed, and along the lines of, Lord, if this be your will, you know, and in Jesus' name. And that for me was the crucial turning point. In Jesus' name, amen. And on amen, I heard click. And I looked round and I looked at the nest box and I could see the door had gone. And I thought, you're kidding me. And I walked back to the tree. I got the box down and I got this bird out, and it was the male who I'd spent 3 days trying to catch.
That was the Reverend Professor Andrew Gosler in episode 85. We spoke further in episodes 86 and 87. We're going to take a quick break now, but if you are enjoying today's show, please do consider rating it and leaving a review on your podcast platform so that other people can discover it too.
You're listening to Unapologetic from Premier Unbelievable.
This podcast is an outreach of Premier Insight, and it's made possible through the support of listeners like you. And your support today is so vital. We want to thank you for your generous gift by giving you exclusive access to Science, Faith, and the Evidence for God Apologetics course. This 9-module course invites you to learn from John Lennox, one of the most celebrated Christian thinkers of our time, through conversations with atheist thinker Michael Ruse and secular talk show host Dave Rubin. You'll be empowered to confidently speak into conversations on faith, science, and why believing in God is not only reasonable, but logical. The course is free to you to thank you for your gift to help Premier Insight equip more Christians to confidently speak into the biggest issues of our culture and defend their Christian faith with conviction and grace. To get access to Science, Faith, and the Evidence for God, simply go to premierinsight.org/unbelievableshow. That's premierinsight.org/unbelievableshow. Unbelievable show. Thank you for your support.
Welcome back to the show. We would love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Do get in touch on social media at Premier Unbelievable. Now let's return to the conversation. This is Dr. Vince Vitale, who discusses some of his PhD research around evil, suffering, and theodicy. Here he shares vulnerably about his own devastating experience of miscarriage.
We had not heard her heartbeat yet when she passed. And, you know, for some reason, that just always sticks with me, you know, that I just so that I didn't hear her heartbeat. And again, like that hopefulness that... it's the first thing I'm going to do. It's the first thing I'm going to do in eternity is put my head on her chest and listen to her, to her heartbeat. And I guess this gets back to the sort of pastoral response. You know, the philosophical theory is just not the pastoral response. You know, the pastoral response is, you know, that was the way God did it in our life, but just God saying, I'm here. I'm not giving an answer right now. Even if I did, it wouldn't do any good. But I am here, and I think here as one who understands, you know. And I think about Jesus in the garden saying, "My heart is sorrowful, even to death." That's a very significant line for me, and it's very significant to my faith that I worship a God who didn't stay far off on some heavenly throne. You know, as we suffered. I remember our other son, as he went through testing on his heart, you know, and had just all these wires and everything going into him. And he's just, I think he was like one at the time, you know, he couldn't understand anything. And he's just on the bed, just screaming, you know, and I couldn't explain anything to him. He wouldn't even have understood. Even if he did, it wouldn't have helped. It wasn't like a problem with the theories or the reasoning. It wasn't the question. The question was not, why am I suffering? The question was, how do I deal with this? And, you know, I just remember I just instinctively just drew really close to him and just said, I'm here. It's over and over. I had to say, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. Daddy's here. And I just said that over and over and over. And I guess as I think about my own faith, I feel like that's who Jesus is. Jesus is God saying, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here.
That was Dr. Vince Vitale in episode 61, and you can hear more from him in episodes 59 and 60. Next up is apologist Claire Williams speaking during Black History Month back in 2022.
Representation really does matter. And if young people don't see themselves in the story of Christianity, they see themselves as extras on the stage of Christianity, then they will disengage. The very fact that we believe that we have inherent human dignity, that we are made in the image of God, or the very fact that we get angry about being treated badly, is pointing us to a God who has made us in his image with dignity. Because if we are just, you know, a bag of atoms in a body, and we decide our value for ourselves, then when people decide that maybe I'm not worthy of dignity because I'm a Black woman, then what have I got to say about that? Mm-hmm. But if there is an objective standard, and that resides in God himself, for what we are worth as human beings, then that is actually pointing me to God, not away from him. And so my anger, my upset, my, you know, everything I feel, all the hurt I feel, is actually pointing me to a God who doesn't just make, you know, my human dignity possible, but actually cares deeply about it.
You can hear more from Claire Williams in episodes 24 through to 26. We have had a very mixed response to this next show, but I would love to know what you think. Do get in touch. unbelievable@premier.org.uk. This is theologian Reverend Dr. Michael Lloyd responding to the question of whether Jesus had a sex drive.
I remember one commentary, reading a commentary of the story of Jesus having somebody come and wipe his feet with their hair and their tears, and asking, did he have an erection? And I don't know the answer to that question, but I do know that if we have a problem with the question, it suggests we haven't taken the full humanity of Jesus seriously. Yes, but he was somebody who was completely at ease with his sexuality. You can tell that from the warm relationships that he had with women, the deep, quite physical relationships that he had with men, John with his head on his breast during the Last Supper, and particularly, I think, by the very wonderfully non-judgmental attitude he had towards those whose sexuality was particularly broken, be it the woman caught in adultery or the woman at the well. And it's really interesting that the question that the disciples ask when they come back and are shocked to see him in conversation in public with a woman alone, which would just not have been acceptable at the time. The way that one commentator translates that is, what are you after? Now, as it happens, he wasn't up to anything bad at all, but they assumed that there might be something. They assumed that he was completely full-bloodedly male in his expression of sexuality. But what actually happens there is that he does not take advantage of that situation at all. He is completely restrained and responsible in his attitude to somebody whose experience of sexuality seems to have been very different from that. Seems to have been very broken and quite traumatizing. And that experience of male sexuality under control and expressed respectfully and trustingly is healing of her. And she goes away transformed by that that non-sexual encounter with a fully sexual male person.
That was the Reverend Dr. Michael Lloyd from episode 92, but you can also hear him in episodes 74 and 91. It's not often that I get to speak to a makeup artist in my line of work, but I loved chatting to Hannah Martin, makeup artist to the stars, who British Vogue crowned the queen of radiant skin and smoky eye tutorials. In this next clip, I asked her about how we navigate a filter-obsessed culture.
I see friends of mine who have slightly older children and how filters and things are so just ingrained. Whereas I think the young people maybe recognize their filters, I think what's challenging is people of my age and older don't necessarily recognize the filter and find it very hard to understand when, you know, people show me images and say, I want my foundation to look like this. And I go, fantastic, that is Photoshop, or that is an AI app that has just completely altered that image. That's quite hard because I think people kind of older generations aspire to images they have no concept are filtered and think, well, why can't I have skin that looks like that, completely poreless, completely even tone? But then I fear for the younger generations that they are so, their perception of what's real is so skewed by filters and stuff that potentially are, you know, is there a generation of young people with really bad self-esteem because they aren't confident to share images of themselves that haven't been like highly edited? It's really quite terrifying. I don't think it's going to last though. I really don't. I think social media apps are going to, I don't know, I can't see it lasting. I think we're going to get wise to it and they're going to be prohibited. That's my prayer anyway.
You can hear more from makeup artist to the stars Hannah Martin on this topic in episode 93, or for an incredibly vulnerable show around grief and how to support those who struggle with Mother's Day, check out episode 94. Up next is apologist Dr. Amy Ewing addressing the question of whether there is any evidence for the virgin birth.
When Joseph discovers that Mary is pregnant, he decides to, it says, to sort of put her to one side quietly because he was an honourable man. He didn't want to shame her. But the clear implication of the text is Joseph understands how babies are made. He knows he hasn't slept with her. So he concludes a natural reason for the pregnancy. So we're not dealing with a religious text that assumes a sort of supernatural bubble that we've entered into. And Joseph goes, we're in the Bible now, people. It must be a virgin conception. No, he assumes a natural reason for the pregnancy. And only when he himself has an encounter with an angel is he prepared to upend his life and go with this. So within the text, at least deductively, there's an acknowledgement of natural law and the natural processes and, you know, the power dynamics of the age. And I think that's really interesting and powerful evidence for this actually being true.
For more from Dr. Amy Ewing, check out episodes 77 through to 79. This is Associate Professor Sarah Irving Stonebreaker, who shares how studying the founders of modern science challenged her assumption that religion and science were fundamentally opposed. She also highlights the moment that she realised her atheism could no longer sustain her moral commitments.
Actually, atheism is, I think, appealed to me because it seemed very much to be the choice of the kind of intellectuals, as far as I understood it. Atheism seemed to be, or kind of secular humanist atheism seemed to be the kind of natural choice of somebody who, and this was the kind of, it is actually really quite crude, but the kind of one of the myths I think that we have about the modern world is one to which I subscribe, which is that really modernity and reason progress have sort of emerged in such a way that they emancipated themselves from the shackles of religion, and therefore as somebody who was intellectual, Christianity was something that I would dispense with too, and therefore atheism, secular humanism seemed like a kind of natural choice.
You can hear more from Associate Professor Sarah Irving Stonebreaker in episodes 75, 76, 98 and 99. You can also check out her story on the C.S. Lewis podcast. This is Bishop Aaron Aurora speaking about the incarnation.
I think it's the ultimate promise of hope. It's that we are not abandoned, that God does not leave us alone, that in Christ we are invited into a full relationship with God, that Jesus knows what it is to be tempted, to suffer, to mourn, to be betrayed, to be tortured, and in the midst of it, to forgive. And through his life and life, death and resurrection, we have the opportunity to enter in to a full relationship with God, where the riches of that grace are something we can then share. I think for me, that hope, that the triumph of Christ on the cross means that violence and death and tragedy never have the last word. And actually the coming of Jesus into the world is the beginning of the answer, that we know where things end, and we know that it ends with the triumph of Christ, and that the final word belongs to him, and that in the end, love wins.
For more from Bishop Aaron Aurora, check out episodes 80 to 83. I'm afraid that is all we've got time for today, but I would love to know, what were your favourite or even least favourite episodes over the last 100? Please do get in touch with your thoughts. Thank you for listening to Unapologetic. I'm Ruth Jackson, and as always, you can find out more about our guests through the links with today's show. We would love to hear your feedback. Do drop us an email with your thoughts at unbelievable@premier.org.uk or get in touch via social media. And don't forget, there are more shows, articles and resources at our website, premierunbelievable.com. You can also register there for the chance to win a free book. That's premierunbelievable.com. And if you enjoy listening to Unapologetic, please do consider rating and reviewing it. Thank you for listening and see you next time.
You've been listening to Unapologetic. For more shows, resources and our newsletter, visit premierunbelievable.com.